here. She is strong. Verse 17 says, she girds herself with strength and makes her arms strong. This eighth letter stands for really a definition like a stone fence. She's not a wood fence. She's not a wire fence. She's not a rope fence. She's a stone fence. Wood fences, when you put them up and the wind blows, what happens to them? They kind of do this. Wire and rope fences, when you put them up, what happens? They kind of do this. Wooden fences that are long pieces of timber, you know, with three pieces of small trees put up in between the uprights. The horses come and they butt on them, and what happens? They break. Or the cattle comes up and they trample them over. In fact, I have been fortunate enough in my life to see cattle on the run take down barbed wire fences, take down wooden fences, take down all sorts of fences. But I've never seen cattle take down a stone fence where you've taken stones and you've built up a wall of stones. That's a picture of how strong this woman is. An excellent wife is strong in what she does. Twist together, verse 18. Yes, ma'am.
I'm still having trouble with this number
16. Go ahead.
Why would she use her own?
Because she has made her money to do that. That is something that she does. She is an excellent wife. She is industrious in every way. She is providing for the needs of her family in every way. And such it was back in those days. Things have changed today. Twist together. She senses that her gain is good. And here's where the twist comes. Her lamp does not go out at night. She twists all her efforts together to make things happen, to assure that the product that she produces will produce a good gain. Her days and her nights are twisted together. In other words, as with every woman mother in this room, if you couldn't get done what you needed to get done during the day, when did you do it? Because sometimes something had to be done by morning and you did it at night. And you twisted your days and your nights together. Some men have that quality. Almost all women have that quality. When they know something's got to be done, they're going to get it done. And the sun going down and the moon coming up doesn't stop them in their work. They twist their days and their nights together to make sure that everything is done properly. Verse 19, hold. It's the yodo hand. It's the tenth letter of the alphabet. It means hand or to hold. Look here, it even talks about she stretches out her hand to the distaff and her hand grasps the spindle. Now we need to know what a distaff is, first of all, and we need to know what a spindle is. First of all, a distaff. After they're making the thread and they're taking the wool and they're going through the spindle, it goes through and it spins everything together, they have to have some place to put the thread. And so back in those days, they would take pieces of board, they would carve it as they could from lumber flat, and they'd have a big old U in the top of it cut out and a U in the bottom. And as the thread would come off, it would be wrapped around this board. That board is called the distaff. It held the thread that it was going to go over to another place at the loom where they were going to use a shuttle as they would do. And they would run the shuttle as they'd pull the string off of the distaff, spinning it with one hand. They'd run the shuttle through one way. They'd move the thing. It caused the threads to go another direction. They'd shuttle it back the other way to make material. They made material from thread. How do you think all those threads got together to make material? Somebody had to do it. And in this day and time, it was done by hand. The spindle would be running with one hand. The distaff would be twisting the material as it came off with another. This woman is very proficient in what she's doing, and she can do it with both hands at the same time. It is an example of the excellent skill of an excellent wife. Outstretched hand is the 11th letter. Verse 20 says this, she extends her hand to the poor, and she stretches out her hands to the needy. The wife will care for the needy with what she has to share. You must understand, in the Bible, the needy are those, and those needs are true needs. Food, water, and clothing. That's the needs in the Old Testament. Food, water, and clothing. It's not a utility bill. It is not a mortgage payment. It is not a car payment. It is not gas in the car. It is not a motel for them to stay in. It is not buying them a house. It is food, water, drink, I should say, and clothing. And out of the abundance that she has, she provides for the needy. Some of y'all may know out of this class, members of this class, and have been for many, many years, we have a couple, they're not here today, called B and Kirk Brockhausen. Many years ago, or several years ago, Kurt was in a very difficult physical position, not expected to live over in Alexandria, Louisiana. One day I made up my mind that I was going to drive over there just to pray for him. I was literally there 15 minutes. I drove over there, prayed for him, and left. And he was on his deathbed at that point in time. Well, I knew their natural born children, and I knew that they had some other children, but I did not know whether they were natural born or not. I actually thought they were natural born. When I showed up at the hospital, there was probably 25 or 30 who were all calling B and Kurt mom and dad. And I'm sitting here going, okay, whew, B, you must have had more kids than I ever thought you had. And sure enough, she didn't. But one thing that B and Kurt did all their lives was they took in kids who had no one to take care of them. B's motto was, a little more water to the soup and another package of crackers, and we got plenty. And Kurt just went along with it because he loved the kids. So when they finally, he got well and they came back over here, we had a party over here in the chapel. There must have been 75 people there. And 30 or 40 of them were calling them mom and dad. This is the daughter I raised. This is the daughter I raised. This is the daughter I raised. This is the son. This is my other son that I raised. This is my son. Okay, B. Are they yours? Are they adopted? No, we didn't adopt them. We just raised them. An excellent wife shares out of what the Lord gives for those who are truly needy. Not that they're making poor choices, but they truly are needy. By the way, everyone in this room, all of us here, some point in our life, we have had a time where we've been truly needy. Some of us. Some of us may have been when we were just 4 or 5 years old and our parents didn't have anything. And we were struggling and we were needy and somebody came along. I will never forget. Never forget. 1979, I'm in Baytown with my wife. We're married. We're not making enough money to hardly do anything with. And my wife is at the grocery store, and she's filled the basket, you know, the little part where the kids sit. Well, she's put a couple of bags of beans and a couple of bags of rice and a bag of popcorn and some Crisco oil, because we're going to pop the popcorn. And that's all we could afford. That's all we could afford. And standing right in front of her was the wife of this wonderful fisherman. There's the Osgood family out of Baytown, the Osgoods. James Osgood and his wife Sharon. Sharon was there. Sharon looked around at Kay and said, well, Kay. And of course, Sharon's baskets are just full. Just full. She says, Kay, don't you need more groceries than that? And I remember Kay evidently said, well, Miss Sharon, we're just getting what we can. You know, we eat popcorn and we eat beans and we eat rice. That's what we eat. Because, you know, we're paying for school, we're paying for this, we're paying for that. Well, Kay didn't mean to break her heart, but evidently she broke her heart. Because about 2 hours later, they brought us 6 months worth of groceries and everything else you needed. It was deodorant and toothpaste and toothbrushes, one to change out every month. I'd never changed a toothbrush in every month in my life at that point in time. And everything that a woman might need and everything that a man might need in a family. For 6 months, they brought us 6 months worth of groceries and everything. We didn't have room in our little apartment to put everything, but we found room. It sat on our dining table as we used it up. I was so thankful. And old James, that old burly fisherman, shrimper. Now, if you haven't ever seen shrimpers, shrimpers have these big old huge bony, skinny, bony hands because they're always working with shrimp. James came up and man's man. In other words, that means he couldn't say much more than, you know. He said, here. And he hands me an envelope, and out the door they go. And I open the envelope, and there's three $100 bills. Kay and I did not bring $300 home a month at that point in time. He gave us groceries for 6 months and three $100 bills. We have all been in a position sometime in our life where we needed that. And by the way, you all will sometime in your life find somebody that's in that position. A young couple struggling that needs a one-time shot of help, or maybe two. You're not taking them to raise. You're helping them get along a little bit better. And we were making good choices. And lo and behold, it wasn't long before the church was taking care of us a little better so that we could provide food for ourselves. Everyone needs that. And an excellent wife is a woman who the Lord uses to help people who are truly needed. They know. Guys, women have wonderful intuition from the Lord that we don't have. And you all know it. Sometime in your married life, they warned you about somebody months and years before you finally got the message. And you wish you had listened many, many years earlier. She's a scholar. Oh, not a scholar like a book scholar, folks. But she knows what she's doing. She extends her hand. Verse 21. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. Here, this 12th letter means that she understands. She has knowledge. She's a scholar. This wife is so well trained in the necessities of caring for her family that she makes sure that when the snow comes, not only are they clothed in one layer of clothes, but they have double layers of clothes. But what's interesting for that, her household is clothed with scarlet in double layers. It's just not rags. She's made sure that they've had some of the finest clothes that they can have to make sure that they're warm. Larger body. Verse 22, the 13th letter means, a mem means a larger body, such as an ocean is larger than a lake. That's where we're going here. She makes coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Now, first of all, you'd think, okay, the coverings are for her. That's not the word, folks. The word is tapestry. Now, I hate to tell you this, but it wasn't many years ago when I learned that a tapestry is not, the original purpose of a tapestry was not to hang on the wall. I thought tapestries were made to hang on the wall. I did not know until just a few years ago how I missed it. I hate to even tell you this, but I did not know that tapestries were actually rugs that went on the floor that they decided to hang on the walls because they were so pretty, okay, or for some other reason. Here's the word covering. She makes carpets for her house. Now, the interesting thing about this is a covering. It's a one covering. In the homes this time, they had little bitty pieces of material they would sit on the floor. Remember, they didn't have tables and chairs like we have. If you went into a home, some of y'all would be in trouble if you went into one of these homes, because if you can't get down on the floor and get up, that's where the seat was down on the floor. We didn't have chairs like this. Everything was done on the floor and on pillows. Those pillows would usually sit on a small piece of material that ever they'd hand out the piece of material to the person to sit on the dirt floor. Not this excellent wife. She has a covering for the floor that is large enough for her family and all the guests who might ever come to sit on it. She has done an excellent job. She has an expensive carpet that is there. Now, not only that, she herself is wearing linen that has been dyed purple. Linen. That special cloth that if you want anything dyed scarlet or dyed in any color where it's vibrant, with like purple or whatever, it had to be done with linen because that's what would absorb the dye. And once they put salt on it, it would secure that dye into that linen, and then you could wash it and it would stay. But hers, her clothing out of linen is dyed purple. Where in the world do you get purple dye? Where you go to the Great Sea, the larger than a lake area. You go to the Mediterranean Sea. On the old, old maps, the Mediterranean Sea is always called the Great Sea. And there is a very long tentacled squid in the Great Sea, a special one called the Pinna Magna, that they would capture these squids and they would take that ink that was purple out of those squids and they would sell it as a dye. It was expensive. Where did she get the money to buy that dye? She had earned it out of the abundance of what she had done. So therefore, really and truly, she has shown that what she does is larger than what is normally done in the households. Propagate. The 14th letter, the nun, means to propagate or to increase. Verse 23, her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. How is he known in the gates? Because of his excellent wife. She brings an increase to him. We all know this. A husband with a wife that, let's just say an ungodly wife, that husband is all, the people who are dealing with that husband who has an ungodly wife, they always judge that husband a little bit because, or even a lot, because of his wife. Because of the way she acts, the way she talks, and what she does. But if a husband has an excellent wife, that excellent wife just increases the nobility and the notoriety of that husband that sits down at the gates. She brings to him an increase. She propagates who he is because of who she is. Support. The next letter of the Hebrew alphabet, the 15th letter, means support or to bind up. She makes linen garments and sells them. Here she goes again. Okay, she's had a field. She's gone about flax and wool. She's done all this stuff. Now she's making linen garments to sell. Linen garments to sell. And supplies belts to the tradesmen. The buyers who purchase her products use the linen garments that she's making here to as belts around their waist to bind up and to support their clothing, or around their heads as turbans to support their hair to bind it up. So she helps the community by selling things that she has made that deal with the word binding and support. Seen, verse 25. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future. 16th letter means seen. In other words, all the onlookers see her character. But she also sees the possibility of her future. Man, there was a field. Oh, they need belts. Oh, I can do this. Oh, I can make the material. I can hold the distaff. I can do the spindle at the same time. I can take it to the loom. She does all this stuff. She onlookers see her character, but she sees her future. And by the way, what she's really saying here is the character of the excellent woman is more important than the clothing that she is wearing. She can have the finest of all, but Her character is what's important. Speech. Verse 26. She opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teachings of kindness is on her tongue. This wife uses her mouth to speak into the lives of family and of friends, words that are of wise, words that are true. She teaches them the principles that she's teaching her son here, that she's teaching Lemuel. She's saying, find you a wife that teaches principles that are full of kindness. Righteous. Verse 27, she looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. This wife has made sure that her house, her home, her family live in righteousness. She's righteousness. She's righteous. She has set the example for her family. She has set the example, and everyone has noticed her. You know how I know that? Because of the next one. Verse 28, time. The 19th letter means time. Her children rise up and bless her, her husband also, and he praises her, saying the next thing. Before we go to the next thing, here's what that means. Relationships take time. Every husband has a wife, but not every husband praises his wife. Every child has a mother, but not every child brings blessing and blesses his mother. But for this wife, her children have spent enough time watching what she's doing and seeing what she's doing and learning what she's teaching that they have risen up to say, Mother, how blessed you are. And the husband gives her praise because of what she does. Here's what she says. Here's what he says about her. Verse number 29, the head, the 20th letter. Many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. In other words, this mother is telling her son that he needs to find a wife that he can say about her, many daughters have done nobly, but you, my wife, you are head and shoulders above them all. You have proven that you exceed all of them. And by the way, before that king should take this woman as his wife, she should be proven, even though she is young, that she is above all the others in how she thinks and how she walks and what she does in her character. Why? Because of favor. Verse 30. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. It's the 21st letter of the Hebrew alphabet. It means favor. Here she is teaching her son that the outward appearance of the woman, the outward appeal of the woman, means absolutely nothing. Many a man has fallen in love with a good-looking woman and married her way too quickly. And then after he married her, found out, uh-oh, this woman has a side that I never thought she would have. She was pretty on the outside, but she's ugly on the inside. Many a woman has fallen in love with a hunk of a man, only to find out once he's got her that he is not all that he was cracked up to be. Oh, he was handsome. Now, lest I offend some of y'all, just think back to your high school days. Think back to those quick marriages that happened right after high school that ended, and the stories that went around about how terrible one of the partners was. And then lo and behold, that dear little girl went off and married another guy who was just like the first guy. She hadn't changed her specifications yet, because she was looking out for and instead of, oh yes, he's a godly guy. And lo and behold, that marriage goes south. And then the third, and then the fourth. Same thing happens on the other side of the field with the guys. They've married the beauty, but the beauty is not the one who has the interior beauty. And so it is that we see. Now, fortunately, most of y'all in here, you've married the beauties that are beauties with inside. And a lot of you and all of you women are beautiful on the outside. I don't know how I'm going to get out of this one, so I'm going to keep on going. In other words, the mother teaches her son that what matters is the inner person and how that person feels about the Lord. Does she worship the Lord? If she worships the Lord and that's the most important thing to her, she should be praised. Is her soul in harmony with the Lord? Then she should be praised. Such a woman should be the king's wife. Such a woman every girl should strive to be. Such a woman deserves the praise of her husband. Finally, she ends with the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet. It's the word that means covenant. Verse 31, she says to her son about his wife-to-be, give her the product of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. What a wise thing for a mother to say to her son about his wife. This last word this mother is saying to her son that it is his responsibility to find an excellent wife, but once he's found her, he is to let her work. He is to let her to do what she has been trained to do. He is to let her to do what she desires to do as an excellent wife. He is not to, get this, this is the important part. Mom knew what she's telling this king. Don't take credit, son, for what your wife does. Don't take credit for her accomplishments. You're not to hamper her endeavors. You are to help her endeavors. A marriage is a personal covenant, and because he is the head of the house, he is to give her what she needs to excel as a wife, to excel as a mother, to excel as a teacher, to excel as a caregiver, to excel as a child of the Lord. And down at the gates, he is not to take credit for it, where he is the judge because of the good graces of the people saying, he has got a good wife, an excellent wife. We want him to rule over us. And he better be a righteous man. But when she does something good, the husband should not take credit for it. He should say, isn't she? He should give her praise. Isn't she wonderful? She loves the Lord. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this time to study your word and what it means to us. How wonderful these words are to talk to us, to instruct us in our lives. In your name, amen and amen.